You know the long nature of the federal regulatory process. It often, 90-day public comment and then another 90-day public comment, and it goes on and on. And this is a complicated issue. So, left to the normal approach, it would take quite a while to get this program up and running. We are trying to get it up and running because I'm keenly aware that retirees, many of them make that decision to retire in January. Well, I can't have final regs in place by January, but wouldn't it be great if I can issue by the end of the year draft regulations? Because then people who are retiring will know essentially what the rules of the road will be. It might change slightly. I can't, the process still may change, but they'll have a pretty good idea of how it's going to work. And so what we're working very hard on is trying to do it better, faster approach. And the Innovation Lab is that's its mantra. And so we're having our team who's working on this, coming together with other experts and saying, okay, where can we do this faster? How can we get comments better? And so we're working with NARF, we're working with other groups to try to do this right and get it done quicker so that people will have a roadmap by the end of the calendar year. So that's my time. That's what the goal we're working towards. And I think we're going to hit it. I can't say that we've nailed it yet, but a lot of people are working really hard.
One of the things about rules like this, could you consider issuing an interim rule versus a draft rule? A lot of times in procurement, you see an interim rule with a request for comments, meaning we're going to put this into effect now because we know it's important, but people have a chance to comment and we'll have a chance to change it if necessary.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to, the lawyers make that decision as to whether or not, something can meet that because there are standards that have to be met to use the interim status. And we don't do it very often. I think it's only been once or twice in my whole tenure. Once for the firefighters, for example, to get them their insurance. We used an interim rule process. But otherwise, the lawyers try to keep you on the same process, the same approach. And so I don't want to take it off the table. We'll look at every option we have. But right now, people are saying this is one that has to go through a regulatory process.
You mentioned people tend to retire early January timeframe, January 1st, January 2nd is their last day. The number of retirees, as we see the monthly reports on the retirement services, is going up, up, up. Does that give you some pause, some concern that this phase retirement regulations may not get there quickly enough because there's so many people exiting their government service?
A lot of what's driving the current numbers that you're seeing in the trends is we can track pretty specifically. For example, right now, most of that is being driven by the Postal Service. They're running a specific buyout. They're trying to reduce their workforce. And so we knew that was coming. We didn't know what month, but we knew it was going to come. And so that's starting to arrive now, and that's what's happening with much of that number that we're seeing. Otherwise, we're hoping that what we're not seeing is a new huge wave. I don't have any evidence of that right now, but we watch it. We watch it on a monthly basis. So far on the plan, we've published, we are staying ahead of it. We're still ahead of it, thank God, and knock on wood. Our folks are working very hard. I'm so grateful to our people in our retirement services program, and they're doing a great work. And we need to do this because we need to serve our retirees better. And that's our goal. And by this time next year, I hope I'll be talking to you about how it's fixed.
One of the things that Congressman Connolly briefly mentioned was the idea around banking leave for people who maybe are leaving government and maybe plan to come back. Is that something that maybe you guys would consider, whether from OPM's perspective or the administration's perspective?
I can't speak for the administration yet because I haven't been able to discuss this with anyone at OMB yet. But Congressman raised this issue and asked the question, and I think it's a very innovative idea. And our common philosophy is that more flexibility is better. Giving employees better choices, more choices, is a good thing. And so this is in that spirit of letting people, so rather than having to cash out your leave when you leave federal service, you could create an account that you could leave it, and it's still your leave. But if you came back to federal service later, you wouldn't start with zero. You'd have a bank account, if you will. You could also withdraw it when you might need it, to buy a house or pay off student loan or whatever. So I think it's an interesting idea. We're going to look at the details of it, and it may be one that we can recommend to OMB that we support. So, and take to the president to see if we can move that along.
One of the other things you talked about, kind of in that same vein, is looking out for employees' best interests is the wellness pilot. You mentioned you guys are still moving out with it, even though some agencies have dropped out Interior, for instance. What's the latest with that? Do you have maybe some results from the pilot?
One of the things we're finding is that the good news is employees are finding problems earlier. And the key in healthcare is a lot of these conditions, to the extent you can find them earlier, all the better. When employees find out that they're just borderline pre-diabetic, you know, that's often the wake-up call they need to make the changes in diet and exercise and activity that they can hopefully avoid the onset of adult diabetes. And so that's just one example. And I know that the testing has enabled a lot of employees. I'm so excited when I see an employee in the elevator who comes up and says, you know, oh, Director Barrett, and they're in there, they've come back from their walk, you know, during their lunch hour, and they've come back and they say, oh, Director Barry, I've lost 40 pounds, or I've lost 60 pounds since we started this program. That's an amazing result, and it's making lives better and improving the quality of life for our employees. I think it's great. The other data point, I think, and we're still showing this, is we only have about 30% uptake in these programs. And one of the things I think Secretary Sebelius and I are exploring is the private sector gives an incentive, a financial payment. You either pay a less of a copay or they pay one of your deductibles to incentivize doing the wellness thing, getting the testing done, losing the weight, et cetera. And what they say, their data shows, when you do that, 80% of the people join the program. And that's where you get real savings long-term for the taxpayer. So they're saying you're finding in your data exactly what we found in ours. When the private sector did it without that incentive, they got about a 30% uptake. They said, we're recommending you look at, can you, you know, provide an incentive payment? Because if you could, you might get an 80% uptake. Well, that's an interesting idea. It may cost us a little more money on the front end, but it may save millions, if not billions, on the back end. So, you know, we got to be smart about that. So we're going to look at that.